Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. This is Chair Rena Moran, pursuant to House Rule 10.01. I call this remote meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee for Friday, for February 28th, 2022, to order. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll for attendance.
Chair Moran?
Present.
Moran, present. Vice Chair Olson?
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Garofalo?
Present.
Garofalo, present. Representative Albright?
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Becker Finn?
Becker Finn, present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Bernardi?
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Eklund?
Present.
Eklund, present. Representative Hansen?
Present.
Hansen, present. Representative Hassan?
Hassan is present.
Hassan, present. Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas? Representative Hornstein?
Present.
Hornstein, present. Representative Johnson?
Present.
Johnson, present. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, present.
Kreisha, present. Representative Liebling?
Present.
Liebling, present. Representative Lilly? Representative Lilly? Representative Mariani? Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Miller?
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Representative Nash?
Nash, present.
Nash, present. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Representative Noor?
Noor, present.
Noor, present. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Pinto?
Present.
Pinto, present. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, present.
Schumacher, present. Representative Schultz?
Present.
Schultz, present. Representative Scott?
Here.
Scott, present. Representative Sundin?
Present.
Sundin, present. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Representative Lilly? Representative Mariani?
Mariani, present.
Mariani, present. Madam Chair, that concludes the roll. We have a quorum present.
Thank you. A quorum is present. So the next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for our meeting on February the 21st. The meetings were included in the hearing documents emailed to you by committee staff. Are there any questions or corrections on the minutes? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Olson moves approval of the minutes for February the 21st, 2022. Please unmute briefly for a voice vote. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So members, we have five bills on the agenda today. So we will need to be focused in order to finish within our 90 minutes time block. And I know we can do this. The first bill that we have up would be House File 3420. Chair Sundin.
Thank you, Madam.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move that House File 3420 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay. Chair Sundin, give us a brief explanation before the amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is in response to the severe drought that affected the vast majority of our state last summer and fall. The bill provides $5.1 million for grant assistance to farmers negatively affected and provides $5 million to the Rural Finance Authority for disaster loans. As introduced, it reflects the governor's recommended package for ag, but we had a good discussion in the Ag Committee and amended it to provide some additional guidance on how the funding is used. It passed out of committee on a unanimous vote. And I understand that Chair Hansen has an amendment.
Yes. So Chair Hansen, you have the DE2 amendment. Can you explain that amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would move the DE2 amendment
The DE2 amendment, there are two bills that we'll be considering today, Chair Sundin's bill, and then later on, I have the governor's drought relief package. Last summer, when the drought was raging, there was a commitment to support farmers, and that is in Chair Sundin's bill and in my bill showing up later on. In addition, on October 13th, the administration announced a package that would help out forestation. We had a large number of trees, and the DNR is available to discuss trees that were impacted, as well as well interference with the drought. The DNR is responsible for resolving those issues. Community tree plantings were lost. So what my amendment does is, and then when my bill comes up later on, we will have parallel bills with the exact same language. What the amendment does is it includes the material that the amendment, the bill that was passed through my committee that has a $300,000 for to the DNR for well interference, $3 million for grants to the DNR to communities that operate public water supplies so that there is water efficiency. I should note we are still in the drought. Although there's snow out there, that we are still in the drought. And so by having these resources, we can help impact people who are being impacted by the drought. $4.5 million for grants to local governments for tree watering equipment, tree planting, tree resources, those costs on the public sector that are very real, just like in the private sector. And then $5.55 million that goes to the commissioner of DNR to replace drought killed seedlings at the DNR and administer grants to communities as well. So I would ask for your support for the DE2 amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Chair Sundin, as the author of the bill, do you have any other guidance that you would like to offer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be supporting this amendment and ask the committee to do the same.
All right. Are there any questions to the amendment? Seeing no further questions, the H3420DE2 amendment is before us. Please unmute your microphone so we can take a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the DE2 amendment is adopted. So with the adoption of the DE2 amendment, there was another amendment, the A9 amendment, which is not necessary to move. Okay, let's see. Just for clarity, are there any other questions or comments on the bill as amended? Okay. No questions. As with past practice, okay, I do see a question here. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My audio is cutting out, but I just want to make sure that we're on passage of the bill as amended, correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, members, I think there's probably going to be some diversity of opinion on this issue from this side of the aisle. I do have some concerns about the policy language that is attached to this in terms of eligibility. But I also recognize that some people just may want to be voting in favor of it today to move it forward. So I'll be voting no on this, but I do understand that conversations are still ongoing and want to thank Representative Sundin for his work on this. Thank you.
All right. Are there any further questions? Okay. Seeing none, as with past practice on bills that have been moved to the floor early in the process, this bill will be tracked in our fiscal tracking, and this would likely fall into the other bills category. Okay, let's see here. So, let's see here. With no further discussions, any closing comment, Chair Sundin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Garofalo, for your comments. We've been in conversations with the Senate, and I look forward to working with Senator Westrom again as we come together on a package to get this assistance out sooner rather than later. So So I'm going to renew my motion that House File 3420, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Thank you.
All right, so the Sunday motion that House File 3420, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register is before us. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker-Finn?
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, no.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. There are 18 ayes and 11 nays.
Chair Moran, you're muted.
Wow, I said all of that and you guys didn't hear anything. Okay, so there have been 18 ayes and 11 nays. The motion prevails and House File 3420, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you, Chair Sundin. So our next bill came to us from the Environment and Natural Resource Finance and Policy Committee. Chair Hansen, you have House File 3598, the Governor's Draft Package for Ag and the DNR. Please move your bill and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 3598 be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. And I believe Chair Sundin has a DE1 amendment.
Chair Sundin, could you please introduce your amendment and explain it?
He's muted.
That was my best speech of the year.
I know, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The DE1 actually adds the ag language onto the DNR bill, and hope the committee can support it.
All right. Any questions on the DE1 amendment? Okay. Seeing no further questions, the H3598-DE1 amendment is before us. Please unmute your microphones. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the DE1 amendment is adopted. Let's see. So, why don't Ms. Sparkman? I think we should take a vote on that. So all in favor?
Madam Chair, I think we have some members of questions.
I think we have questions here. we should do questions before we take the final vote. I think I see Representative Johnson.
Chair Moran, members, Representative Hansen. I do have the same concerns on this as I did before. I just wanted to wait till the second bill is up to bring this forward. I know in the Sundin portion of the bill, the administrative cost is around 6.5%. Just in that portion, if it was at 2.5%, like in the OJP program, that'd be 20 more farmers that could get up to $10,000 in grants. I'm just wondering if the rest of this bill, the other 30, I think it's close to $30,000 in your portion of the bill, Representative Hansen, what is the administration costs for this, the programs that you have in this bill?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we do have the DNR available to address that question.
Okay. From the DNR, who would like to speak to this question, to Representative Johnson's question?
Chair Moran, I'm Sarah Stroman. I'm the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and I think I might be the only one from the DNR actually on the Zoom. I am actually not able to provide the answer on the admin costs. I am checking with my team as we speak, and I hope to have that answer shortly.
So Representative Johnson, we will put that question on hold until we can hear back from the commissioner.
I appreciate that, Chair Moran. Like I said, that 6.5% is a whole lot of money that could be go out to grants to help these farmers and all these other programs when the Office of Justice program only has a 2.5%. Most of these programs and these departments have been doing grants for a long time. They have the program set up. I don't see how why they would need 6.5% to keep doing programs they're doing, because these dollars are getting very large, and I'd rather get the money to those who need it than to pad the department's pockets. Thank you.
Commissioner Stroman, do you have a response?
I do, Madam Chair. Again, Sarah Stroman, Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I have asked our fiscal staff, and they say that our administration costs are 2.5% across the programs.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
I want to thank you. It's just I want to make sure, because in the Sundin portion, it is at 6.5%.
Madam Chair, I think Commissioner Peterson is on too.
Commissioner Peterson, you have anything to add to this around the cost?
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, the 6.5% is our standard. And I just want to say that it's up to 6.5%. This is standard with what we've done. We did this similar program 2 years ago with our dairy farmers. Nobody wants to put money in farmers' pockets more than I do. But the fact of the matter is this will be a lot of checks, and we need to get them out in a timely manner. And so whether that's paying overtime or adding some extra work to get those checks out to the farmers, we don't want that to be a holdup. And we are stretched on staffing already. So this is a new program. And again, the idea is to get the checks out as quickly as possible. So I just want to highlight that it's up to 6.5%. And we'll do the best we can. But the idea is to get these checks out as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Commissioner Peterson, I have a question for you about just that point. How long do you think from the time of passage to getting the grants out to farmers it would take?
Madam Chair, that's a good question. And I have Paul Huguenin, who is on here too, who could maybe address that a little bit. Because we need to do like a RFP, and then they apply, and then we get the checks out. But if I could just have Mr. Huguenin answer that, would probably be better.
Okay, Mr. Huguenin.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. For the record, my name is Paul Huguenin. I'm the Director of the Ag Marketing and Development Division at the Department of Agriculture. So the bill as written includes a provision that would have a randomization. So that means we wouldn't be able to start making payments as soon as the application comes in. We'd have to wait a certain amount of time. Assume that that's 30 days to make sure that everybody can have their application in, and then we would start to forward payments on. Realistically, from when the bill is passed and enacted, as written, assume that we're talking between 6 and 8 weeks before the first farmers are receiving checks. That's the best estimate that I can give you.
Okay, 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And in both the Sundin bill and in my bill, it has the randomization occurs after a 5-day window. There's no mention in the statute of 30 days. There is explicit mention of a 5-day window to encourage that distribution. So the period would be open for 5 days. That would allow for paper applications to come in, as well as folks that may have digital difficulty in applying. So this is done with the deed grants. The randomization should not be, I think, is a fairer system rather than first come, first serve, and that was why it was adopted in the committees.
Okay. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I had a couple questions, and I don't know if they go maybe to the commissioners that are online, but are there grant limits, you know, in these bills? What's the maximum that each person can receive? Or maybe I see Chair Hansen nodding his head. Maybe he has an answer.
Okay. Chair Hansen.
I would maybe have the Ag Commissioner, just for the record, say that there's a limit per person, I believe, of 10K. The DNR portion is going to be going to communities, but I would defer to the two agencies to explain the caps.
Okay, Representative Scott, you have a follow-up question, another question?
I think he was deferring that to Commissioner Peterson to answer that question. And if Commissioner's going to respond, I'd like to know also if it's a $10,000 cap, how that was arrived at.
Commissioner Peterson.
Madam Chair and Representative Scott, it is a $10,000 cap. You can see in subdivision one of the bill, or section two, subdivision one. And that was really arrived at coming and visiting with all of our stakeholders. You would have seen in this Ag Committee support by the Farmers Union, the Farm Bureau, the cattlemen, other specialty crop growers, such as the Farmers Market Association, and in visiting with them and putting this bill together, that is kind of how we came up with that. Looking at the total amount that we decided on, we talked about a lot of different things. We always said this was scalable one way or another. That's similar to like a dairy program we did 2 years ago, where I think we did up to 11,000 per farm. And so that again was visiting with farmers, what would be helpful, what we thought we could do, and looking at the amount we had. Thank you.
Representative Scott.
Thank you. If I could, Madam Chair, if I could ask the same question of Commissioner Stroman.
Commissioner Stroman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Scott. Again, Sarah Stroman, Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. As Chair Hansen said, our grants are a little bit different in that they are not going to individual Minnesotans, they are going to communities. And so the maximum amount of funding will be determined by the Department of Natural Resources as we move through these programs. So for example, the $5.55 million that is going to address drought-induced seedling mortality, half of that amount is actually going to address drought, seedlings lost to drought on DNR lands. Some of that will be passed through to tribal county and other private lands based on the actual number of seedlings that were lost. And so we will be determining that. In terms of the water conservation grants, those will be going to communities. And so the amount that a community may apply for is going to depend on exactly what program or what they are looking to do with the money, whether it is retrofitting community water supply infrastructure or whether it is a grant program they want to do with residents of their communities. So it will vary depending on the program, the purpose of the money, and any limits will be determined as the DNR establishes those programs.
Representative Scott.
So I have concerns about leaving that wide open into the discretion of the DNR. That doesn't seem like a very tight way of operating with these grants. And I'm just wondering too, on both the ag grants and the DNR grants, how will the public be notified that the grants are available? Maybe that question is to the bill's author, Chair Hansen.
Chair Hansen, are you able to respond to
that? Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Scott. You know, I think the beauty on the public side is you're going to have public entities that are going to be requesting the money. So I'm just thinking there was a community that you'd have to have a vote support, you know, asking for the grant, submitting the grant application and accepting the grant. So there'd be a great deal of transparency there for communities when they're receiving that as well. So you'd have it both at the local level where there's a request and acknowledgement of the acceptance, plus the DNR would also be, I know when we did tree plants, they posted their awarded cities that had those. So I think there's a strong record there, and I would defer to Commissioner Peterson on the ag side.
Okay. Representative Peterson?
Commissioner Peterson?
I'm sorry, Commissioner. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Hansen. I'm very confident we'll get it out. I've been traveling the state extensively. I was up in northwest Minnesota with Representative Keel last week with all of our farm groups. They're ready to help push this message out. Our ag media has been reporting this a top priority. We have an excellent communication plan with our communications. We have a very large network reaching out to, like I said, Farm Bureau cattlemen, but not just that, our Hmong Farmers Association, our tribal network, our bison producers. There's a lot of people who are watching this legislation very closely. I'm going to a drought meeting this coming Saturday up in Bemidji. So I'm very confident this message will get out to the general public. They're watching this, they need the dollars. They wanna know the commitment the state and the legislature has to them.
And I'm sure we have rural legislators who will be a part of that media to get this out to their constituency in rural Minnesota. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that answer, Commissioner. And just so you know, Mr. Commissioner, next time we do the grocery bag off, I aim to beat you. So thanks for your answers.
Okay, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Commissioner Peterson, you had stated, sir, that you were short-staffed and you were going to have to bring in new staff. I am a little cautious when we do that because sometimes they morph into full-time staff. So can you tell us how you're planning on staffing the execution of this program?
Commissioner Peterson. Peterson.
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative, you know, not necessarily bringing in new staff, but we may, as I said, sometimes we may use overtime to get this done. We may bring in a retired employee. We may borrow from another agency. We don't necessarily bring people on. In fact, we probably would not bring in a new person to do this, but we would bring in some temporary help such as that to get this done, as we have with other big grant things that we've got out in the last recent history, if that helps. But understood your question.
Representative Scott? I'm sorry, Representative Nash.
There's a slight difference between us, but thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. I do appreciate that and am gonna hold you to that. I share the concern that my colleagues do with how much of a peel-off goes to the issuance of grants, and that's actually been something I've worked on here for 8 years. The amount as it sits in the bill can be up to that 6% number, and I know that other organizations, I think MMB and Admin, are in the 3% range, and I just, the whole grant thing bothers me when we are peeling off money to cover the issuance of these, but I will hold your feet to the fire, sir, on the no FTEs moving forward. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, you know, the administrative cost is really important, guys. If we want these bills to move out and the process to be effective and efficiency, there's a cost associated with that. And so we have to allow the process to play out and for them to be as effective as they need to be to get it out into the community. And I know this is a really important issue for rural Minnesota and for these legislators that represent rural Minnesota. So there's never a perfect process, but a process indeed. Representative Nash, do you have another question? Okay. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, you decided to go with randomization instead of proration for the grants. You just want to explain the reasons for that?
Representative Hansen. Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Garofalo. So originally the bill had first come, first serve, and so randomization was there. The randomization only kick in if there are more applicants than funds available. So for example, the $5 million that's available for direct grants at $10,000, 500 applicants. So if there's 510 applicants, there would be the randomization there rather than first come, first serve. With proration, reducing the grants, we're assuming that when people are applying for the 10,000, they need that 10,000. So by doing proration, let's say if we had 1,000 applicants, then we might be reducing. So I think demand, we'll see what, I think the demand is high on both portions of the DNR tree support, the reforestation and ag. So we get that out, we still have session. I'm hopeful that we can get this done relatively quickly. We provided that 5-day window so that folks who may not have the internet access can apply. It would be my intent that if they are postmarked within that five-day window, that they would be accepted and that the randomization, I think Chair Knorr could reference that the deed grants used randomization. When there's heavy demand, randomization makes sure that we're being fair rather than reducing the amount that the applicants would receive.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen. In the event of oversubscription of the program, I guess I would just, if that meant that we reduced people's grants by 5 or 10% so everyone could access the program, I would just ask you to please consider that. The second thing is regarding the grants for inflow infiltration, low flow plumbing fixtures, stuff like that. Seems a little bit out of scope outside of the fact that they use water. Both these phrases use the word water. Is there a reason why that's being attached to this as opposed to progressing by itself?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. Small communities are being impacted in the drought area by water. We think in Minnesota we have unlimited water, but we do not. So when there's communities that may be running out of water, running out of drinking water, having those efficiency measures help. The DNR commissioner is available to define some of those. We're talking here more, we're not talking about inflow infiltration. We're talking more on actual devices that can help with efficiency. So, Commissioner Stroman.
Commissioner Stroman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hansen and Representative Garofalo. The issue here, and I think Chair Hansen said this earlier, is we're not out of the drought yet. And so what we saw last summer is a lot of communities and residents impacted in terms of their water use as a result of the drought. And so it is a really important time to start thinking about and acting in ways that can help us conserve water. Again, knowing that we are still in the midst of this drought, we don't know what next summer will bring. And so incentivizing water conservation is certainly going to help those communities and the residents of those communities not be as impacted throughout this drought, as well as future droughts, but certainly through this drought as well.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hansen, or to other testifiers. As part of the federal infrastructure bill, there were huge amounts of federal spending that will be coming to Minnesota. My understanding is that water conservation measures are part of those infrastructure dollars. Is that correct?
Commissioner Stroman, maybe?
Madam Chair, I am probably not the best person to speak to exactly what those federal dollars are going to be available for. I know there are water infrastructure dollars available. I think those dollars are different than dollars that are available to communities, particularly communities who are looking to establish pass-through programs to residents to install and businesses to install water-saving devices.
Okay. Is there anyone else that can speak to that? Representative Garofalo? Or Representative Chair Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Garofalo, in capital investment with Chair Lee, we have been hearing a lot from NCSL on how the dollars are coming out. We're waiting for some guidance. There's got to be some matching. So it'll be on different things. There are different federal resources that are available. So again, the goal here is to get these dollars out into these communities. The drought is still with us, and if we have the ability to do that, it can help out. There will be, as you know, federal dollars, but some of that guidance is not yet solid.
Representative Garofalo.
That'll do it, Madam Chair. For the reasons I mentioned earlier, as well as these questions, I'll be voting no today, but I do recognize that there'll be a diversity of opinion on this issue. Thank you, and thank you, Representative Hansen.
All right, thank you. Is there any further question? I don't see any. So let me know if I'm missing anything. We're seeing no further discussion. Is any closing comments, Chair Hansen, before we renew your motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd ask for your support. This is the governor's bill, governor's package, includes both private assistance and public assistance. We're all in this together, so I'd ask for your support.
All right.
Renew my motion.
Okay. So the Hansen motion to House File 3598, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register as before us. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker-Finn?
Becker-Finn, aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, no.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Christian, I think your bill is on Thursday.
Why Miller, no. Bill?
Miller,
no.
Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
Scott, no.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. There are 18 ayes and 11 nays.
So there have been 18 ayes and 11 nays. The motion prevails. House File 3598, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you, Chair Hansen. So members, our next bill came to us from the State Government Finance Committee. Representative Hornstein, you have House File 3035, which is a bill requiring an audit of the Southwest LRT project. Please move your bill and tell us about it with a focus on the fiscal component.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would like to move House File 3035 for re-referral to the General Register.
Okay. Can you tell us a little
sure.
bit
about it? Madam Chair, members, the Southwest Light Rail Project, which is also known as the Green Line Extension, is a light rail project that will connect Eden Prairie to downtown Minneapolis. In the last year, we have learned about significant delays and cost overruns in this project. Over the summer, myself and Senator Dibble requested that the legislative auditor conduct a special review to examine the reasons, causes, and consequences mm-hmm. of the large cost overruns and extensive delays on the project. The legislative auditor at that time did not have the resources to conduct that kind of review, but did provide a preliminary memo, which did indicate issues that need further examination. For that reason, I have introduced this bill in order to ensure that a very thorough audit take place, and the bill outlines a number of issues that we would ask the auditor to examine. There is a fiscal cost to this bill. It's $200,000. While this was not initially requested by the auditor, I've inserted this allocation in the event that the auditor would need technical expertise. There are very significant engineering and technical issues associated with this project. And so if there's a need for a geotechnical engineer, for example, to assist the auditor in their evaluation, those funds would be available. So members, I ask for your support. We have bipartisan authorship in both the House and Senate. The House and myself and the Senate Transportation Chair, along with the ranking members of both House and Senate Transportation Committees, are co-authors on the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you, Chair Hornstein. So there was no amendments pre-filed on this. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hornstein, thanks for being on top of this issue. Will the legislative auditor also look at the costs associated with, I know there have been some buildings down along the line that have experienced some structural problems. There was flooding in one building a couple weeks ago, or maybe it's only a week ago. And so I'm just wondering if they're going to be looking at that piece as well. And then my other question is just, did the legislative auditor's office give you an idea of a timeline by which they think this audit will be done? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Scott. Two great questions. The first, I believe that I'm very engaged with the residents of that particular building. And as you point out, there have been issues with cracking and flooding in recent weeks. And that would certainly, we have a number 14 on 2.22 in the bill and a couple of other areas where I think this would, this could be included in the audit. Also, with regard to your question of the auditor, I would defer. I do believe we have Ms. Randall on the line, and she could probably address that question, Representative Scott.
Okay. Can we have Ms. Randall?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. For the record, my name is Judy Randall, legislative auditor. Thanks for having me here today. Related to the timeline, I believe that was the question of Representative Scott. So we have a couple of different types of reviews, either underway or possibly underway. The first is a special review, and we have already started work on that. We have sent a letter to the Metropolitan Council requesting information on a number of different items. And our hope is to be able to provide the legislature information relatively quickly. So maybe in a month or two,
that's quick for us, of course, and providing you at least some initial information on some discrete questions where we think we can easily provide you information. The broader review would be approved through our program evaluation topic process, and the Legislative Audit Commission is kind of undergoing that process right now. Tomorrow, they're meeting to start to narrow down the list of topics. If the Audit Commission does select that topic for a program evaluation, then that's a larger year-long review, and the answers to that would be, you know, January or February of next year. That would be a much more in-depth review.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Randall. Representative Scott.
That's all. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Randall.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Hornstein, I said this last week in State Government Finance, thank you for doing this. So you and I have talked extensively about Southwest Light Rail. This is just a poorly run project. And I remember you and I and a handful of others sat in a presentation on metropolitan governance. And we talked for about an hour about the pile driving that was being done at the time to lay track and how it was shaking the building and how we were hearing that, oh no, it'll be fine. Nothing bad will happen. And certainly it sounded good to those that testified at the time, but what we found out is that they were wrong. And I appreciate your willingness to step forward and do this. I think it's an important issue. And I know that it's quite unusual to essentially earmark money for the legislative auditor to do this, but I can't think of anybody better to do this. So Chair Hornstein, can you tell me, once this moves forward, what is your thought on the information that is revealed in this? And what do you want to do with the information that we gather as a result of Ms. Randall's office doing this investigation?
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Representative Nash. First and foremost, there needs to be accountability. This should not happen. We need to find out what went wrong. Look, and as you point out, there is no one better than the legislative auditor. We rely on the legislative auditor that has over so many years an excellent track record of reports that are in depth, that provide recommendations to the legislature, that are, objective and balanced. They work for the legislature. So this is exactly the right entity to do this report. So I'll be looking at the recommendations very closely. But first and foremost, it's accountability and what structures and systems need to be changed in terms of the not only this project ongoing, but future large infrastructure projects in the state, particularly as they relate to the Met Council. So I'll be looking very closely at the recommendations. And as the legislative auditor pointed out, we may even see some initial reporting, relatively quickly in the coming months.
Thank you. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, Chair Hornstein, thank you. I think you and I are in lockstep on our frustration with this project. I drive by it when I go to the Eden Prairie area for various things, and I just know how inefficient it is. And it's just been, while it is the largest infrastructure project in the state, it has also been the least successful large infrastructure project in the state in history. And I think that for the people who are paying for it, they should have a reasonable expectation for some answers. So thank you, Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this bill forward. It's something that we really need to do. I think it has been a long time of concern about the delays and increased costs and so forth, and trying to figure out why. And I was going to ask the same question that Representative Nash has as well. But so then I'm just going to offer a comment, and that is, for me, this report really helps us to figure out what kind of oversight we need for at least state funds that are going into the Met Council and directing it there, because ultimately, at least those funds, we are responsible for making sure that they are appropriately used and spent. And so I think that's helpful. I think it also might be helpful because it's possible that Met Council is really unsure of what they needed to have done better as well. But in either case, we need to figure out, you know, what's going on, because we have other projects going to be coming up into the future. We don't want to have the same thing happen. So again, thank you for bringing this bill forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, you know, I want to make sure that viewers or who are watching this program, they hear all this Republican support, conservative support for Representative Hornstein. I want to, those viewers who perhaps live in Representative Hornstein's district need to know, rest assured, that Representative Hornstein is not going soft. He is still a bold left-wing progressive champion. We want to make sure we're not doing anything to accidentally destroy his progressive street cred with this testimony. That being said, Representative Hornstein, thank you for carrying this bill. I'll go a step further that I hope that in the coming weeks, months, and maybe even next year, we have a conversation about what we can do to actually cancel this project. I know that would be a huge financial cost for that, but it will pale in comparison to what the cost of this project are going to be 10, 20, and 30 years later. And so I'm going to be voting for your bill today. I want to thank you for providing oversight for the legislature on this and look forward to future conversations. Thank you, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Are there any further discussion or questions? All right. Seeing no further discussion, any closing comments from Chair Hornstein?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate the support and look forward to a very important and insightful audit moving forward. Thank you, members, and I ask for your support.
Thank you. So the Hornstein motion that House File 3035 be recommended for placement on the General Register is before us. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Colson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker-Finn?
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Representative Hornstein, you told me about this weeks ago, and I continue to support your effort. Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Sorry, Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nash?
Nash, aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. There are 29 ayes and 0 nays.
So there being 29 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and House File 3035 is recommended for placement on the General Register. Thank you, Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
We can agree on some on things. Good bill. So the next bill is House File 2746. Chair Uekin, welcome to the committee. This bill came to us from the Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform Finance and Policy Committee. I will move that House File 2746 be recommended for placement on the General Register to get the bill before the committee. Representative Uerking, Chair Uerking, I understand that you have an amendment to get the bill in the shape you'd like to present it. So I will move, I can move the H2746A1 amendment. And Chair Uerking, can you please tell us about the amendment?
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for hearing 2746. This is a bill that would make clarifications on the Hometown Heroes Assistance Program. The A1 amendment reflects some work on the definition of critical illness that Representative O'Neill requested during the bill's Public Safety Committee stop. It uses cardiac disease and cancer language and references Chapter 60A that includes the powers of oversight that the Department of Commerce has regarding insurance policies.
Thank you, Chair Uerking. Any questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing no further questions, the H2746A1 amendment is before us. Please unmute your microphones. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. There being no other amendments filed, the bill as amendment is before us. Chair Uerking, please tell us about your bill with a focus on the fiscal component.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This legislation had bipartisan support during its 3-year history, and last year we were able to get it across the finish line and provide MnFire with funds to aid firefighters across the state with training around cardiac care, providing mental health supports and monetary support for our firefighters who've been diagnosed with cancer or heart disease. As with many bills that we pass, there always needs to be a few tweaks afterwards. We needed to make clarification around the program start date, a definition, and who is administering the grant at the state level. The bill before you does that. In public safety, there, like I said, there was also a question around MnFire and how it administers the program. That doesn't change in this bill. I've also seen the fiscal note from the Senate, and the state fire marshal has said that they will be able to absorb the cost of administering the program. So it's before you today, I believe, because OJP originally is administering the program, and we're switching that over to the state fire marshal. With that, members, I have Wayne Kiewicz, the executive director of MnFire here, and George Espenson, the president of MnFire, in case there are any questions.
Thank you, Chair Uerking. Are there any questions or comments on the bill as amended? Awesome. Oh, okay. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Uerking. And I know you and I talked about those two issues that were brought up in public safety. I know that you're going to be working with the Senate to kind of finalize that. I'm wondering if you could just speak very quickly to the cap that we had talked about. I know you had mentioned it, but MnFire does not necessarily have a cap right now in the bill. And can you just talk about what your plan is for that and why we're not putting an administrative cap so that the whole committee can understand, because that's a very strong component of this bill.
Chair Uerking.
Thank you, Chair Moran and Representative O'Neill. Yes, you and I did talk about it, and my hope is to let MnFire get on their feet before we start looking at how to cap them and how their administration costs should look. As you can see in the fiscal note, their administrative costs are 5%, and they expect that not to go any further. If it does, I'd be more than happy to revisit looking at giving them an administrative cap.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get that on the public record that we did have that conversation. We will be looking at what the administrative cap should be because they are a nonprofit organization. They're different than a state agency. We typically have a 2.5% at the most cap for administrative expenses in an agency, and it does vary for a nonprofit organization. So I just want to make sure we have that conversation, that it was on the record. And as this rolls out, I know Representative Uerking and I can have conversations about what that appropriate cap could be. So I just want to get that on the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing no further discussion. Chair Uerking, any closing comments before we vote?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members, for your time and attention. I would appreciate your support for these clarifications for the Hometowns Heroes Act as amended and as it moves to the floor.
All right, so the motion that House File 2746 as amended be recommended for placement on the General Register is before us. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker-Finn? Representative Becker-Finn? Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lily, aye.
Lily, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nash?
Nash, aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Okay.
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Representative Becker-Finn?
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. There are 29 ayes and 0 nays.
All right. Sounds good. So we have 29 ayes and 0 nays. The motion prevails in House File 2746 as amended is recommended for placement on the General Register. Thank you, Chair Joaquin. We seem to be doing pretty good here on these last bills. In saying that, our last bill is House File 2993. So this is Representative Baker's bill, but he is not present. And so I believe Representative Petersburg will be presenting this bill. This bill came to us from the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. And so I will move that, I will move that House File 2993 be recommended for placement on the General Register and to get the bill before the committee. Representative Petersburg, can you please tell us about the bill with a focus on the fiscal component?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate hearing this bill. This bill is a fairly straightforward bill, ones that we've heard before. It did come through the Transportation Finance Committee. Reason for coming before us, of course, is the $2,000 fee that will be maintained by state resources for the creation, maintaining of the signage, et cetera. And so just briefly, this is about John Schlegel, who was a U.S. infantryman, and he died in November after many surgeries. He was injured while he was in the Army. And it caused chronic pain, and that pain was finally relieved, at least in 2016, or at least attempted to, through successful surgery. But he also became addicted to opioids, and during his recovery of that opioid addiction, he did pass away in 2017. Now, family and friends said that he has a huge heart, and that he was a patriot who loved his country and honored it as well. And so, Madam Chair, I just ask you to pass on this bill, that we ask for your support, that the community will have an opportunity to see his memory, which is along Highway 71 in Kandy, Ohio County, so that they may, you know, remember who he was and what he stood for and for what we could represent throughout this country as well. So with that, Madam Chair, I will stand for any questions that I can answer and ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Miller.
excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Petersburg. I need to talk on this bill, and it's difficult for me because John Schlegel was a friend of my son's. My son's in the military. I was in the military. My father and my dad, we have other people that are in the military. And the story of John, we won't go into. It's an incredibly sad story. It's tragic. And it really does address the issue of opioid addictions coming out of injuries, things of that nature. However, the thing that I'm struggling with, and this is not a real fun thing to say, but we honor soldiers. We honor things that occur in ways like this very carefully. And there's nothing to say derogatory towards John or towards the intent of why we're doing this. But the problem that we have is if we start well-intentioned, but if we start naming highways after soldiers of many different ways, we're going to have lots of miles of soldiers. And it's going to diminish the acts of people that were killed in action, diminish the acts of people who have gone above and beyond in specific ways to defend our country. This is not unlike, this is probably the best example that I can give, is that seemingly in the U.S. we fly the flag at half staff for every single thing all the time. And if you fly it all the time, then it means less and less. And this is not to diminish John's service. This is not to diminish the man, the young man. This is not to diminish the pain and sorrow of the family. But we need to be really careful about when we decide to do something that is such a great honor as this. I've had discussions with people, and there are many other people that should be in line with this if this is what we're going to do. So I encourage the committee to be cautious. You know, we want to be able to support these soldiers. We want to be able to support these soldiers' families. I just don't know that this is appropriate at this time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Representative Peterborough, any response to
Representative Miller? Just that I think your point is well taken. However, I would say that without his service to the country and his injury while he was serving us, he wouldn't have passed away. And so, therefore, that is entitled to certain respect and honor as well. And how do we make it the determination that a death caused by service to this country, one form or another, is more worthy than that? You know, that certainly is subjective, and we could certainly, or objective, I should say. And so we are where we're at, and as Representative Baker may have more insight, I never knew him personally. I can just tell you that I think any time that somebody suffers and ends up dying because of results of injuries and so forth, that we have a certain obligation to respect that as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Miller, I do understand your concern. You know, it's like we can just make this type of, you know, acknowledgement for many individuals. I know I carried a bill in my district where we wanted to name a portion of a highway after a community member. There was conflict. Some folks felt that why him and why was he deserving. So not everyone was on point with that, and it became a little bit more difficult to to move that bill because of the concerns and the oppositions for it. But I just want to remind members that the cost of this is going to be covered by private resources. So it's no cost to the state. Is there any further discussion around this bill? Okay. Seeing no further discussion, any closing comment, Representative Pillsburg?
Thank you for hearing the bill and thank you for your support and helping us honor this fallen soldier. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the motion that House File 2993 be recommended for placement on the General Register is before us. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Wright, aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan? Representative Hassan? Representative Hertas? Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani? Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nash?
Nash, aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
She's a young.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
Scott, aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Representative Hassan? Representative Mariani? There are 27 ayes and 0 nays.
Okay, we're on a good streak here. 29 aye and 0 nays. The motion prevailed in House File 2993 is recommended for placement on the General Register. Thank you, Representative Pillsburg. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That completes our agenda for the day. Is that correct?
It does.
Okay. Madam Chair, and I just wanted to once again just ask you, it's been 2 years since we've been meeting in person for committees. And it would appear that now would be the time to return us back to the Capitol so that the public has access, so that we're meeting in committee rooms again. Can you give us an update on when we can expect the Ways and Means Committee to be meeting back in person?
Reverend Garofalo, yes, it has been a long 2 years. I agree. And like you, I think many of us would enjoy meeting in person and seeing each other. It's a process that is about the Capitol, you know, that connects us with our communities and others, which is a process that I really enjoy myself. And so I know currently, you know, we're moving on this pathway where we're now meeting and have the availability for folks to show up when we're on the House floor, when we're in the chamber. And, you know, I don't have the answer that would need to come from the speaker about when leadership would prefer us to begin committee hearings in person. And I wish I could give you a definite date of when that may be. Personally, I hope it would be, you know, within the next month or so, at least the next month. But I don't have an answer for you right now, Representative Garofalo.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that. I do hope that there's no reason for us to be remote right now. We have to, and the Senate, as you know, has been meeting in person for quite a while. So it sounds like we're on the same page, and I would just ask you in your private conversations to reinforce that this cannot be allowed to be the new normal, that all committee work is done remotely. So I appreciate that, and thank you.
Yep, I agree. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to push back just a bit on that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot lost when we meet virtually, but there's also a lot gained. And in terms of public access, at least I know from Health and Human Services, people are able to participate and hear and understand what we're doing from all over the state in ways that they never were before. So I think it's a real double-edged thing. There's no perfect answer to this, but the reason I want to push back is Representative Garofalo, you said there's no reason to keep doing this. I really don't think that's the case. I think it is a difficult decision that has to be considered carefully. Just because, first of all, you know, with regard to the pandemic, I can assure you it is not over. I think we're all very grateful that we've had the diminishing cases that we have now, but we also are seeing the rise of new variants. And I feel quite, you know, I'm very sorry to say, I don't think that this is the end of that. As more people get vaccinated, if we can get the state really to a high level of vaccination, I think we can continue to feel more confident, but we have a ways to go on that. There are also other issues that have to do, as I understand it, with staffing and security, physical security in the building and so on. So there are, I don't want to get into all of that here, but I think that there are a lot of reasons to wonder if now would be the time. And just to say too, the fact that the Senate is doing it a different way, I mean, the Senate, I have to remind people, I was very, I would say, reckless during the beginning of the pandemic, and one of their members actually caught COVID and died. You know, who knows if it was from some of the in-person meetings they had when they were being advised that wasn't a good idea. So, you know, I hope we're not going to follow the Senate with regard to making these decisions. And just to say, Representative Garofalo, I think you're completely, I'm with you. It would be really nice to come back in person, but there are lots of considerations to whether to do that now. Thank you for giving me a moment to say that, Madam Chair.
Absolutely, Chair Liebman. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was not gonna say anything, but when Chair Liebling had to talk about former Senator Jerry Rolfe from St. Cloud, I find that incredibly offensive as to make a decision. I'm almost, for a lack of words, please, can we stop pointing to the death of Senator Jerry Rolfe? Many, many people have died during this pandemic, and yes, he was one. His widow would appreciate, Chair Liebling, that you would stop talking about his death as a reason to do or not do something at the legislature. That's offensive. Many people have died during this pandemic. Many people have been hurt and injured and are now on disability because of this pandemic. Listen, I was on the committee to talk about Chapter 12 for months and months and months to try to reform Chapter 12. And I was so offended that the members of your party continue to talk about the death of Jerry Rolfe as a reason why we cannot reform Chapter 12. We need to stop this conversation. It's offensive to every person who has died and every person who has been injured during this pandemic. Please stop the rhetoric.
So as we can see, it's complicated. It is a complicated subject. It's just complicated. And so I'm going to move on and just remind members, as we conclude the business for today, I want us to remember that we will meet tomorrow remotely at 4:45 to hear from MMB on the February forecast that was going to be released later today. Okay. And so with that, I want to thank you all for your work today and what you bring to this body. We stand adjourned.